Karen James, Chief Executive of Tameside Hospital, Integrated Care Trust, now OBE.
Yes.
Congratulations, Karen.
Thank you.
Does that
so
sound
much.
A bit strange, Karen James, OBE?
It does indeed.
And firstly, how big a surprise is it for you to receive such an honour in the New Year's Honours list? And how long did you have to keep it secret for?
Well, it was a big surprise because I didn't know anything about it whatsoever. But I was informed formally through a letter 3 weeks prior to the announcements being made. So it was fantastic, and it's a privilege to have been awarded such an honour. And it was hard to keep it a secret, to be quite honest. But you know, I think it was the team who have nominated me here. And as I say, it's a shared honour because it does reflect the whole team here at Tameside and the broader system in terms of what we've achieved over a period of time.
Well, let's talk about those achievements, because when I first met you about 6 years ago, when you arrived as the then interim chief executive, the hospital was in special measures. What were the first things that you set about doing to put the hospital back on track? Because that's really what the OBE is for.
Yeah. Well, it's all about the team. It's all about staff. And when I arrived here, there was real poor morale and nobody wanted to be in special measures. Everybody comes to work to do a fantastic job and they really wanted to do that. So it was providing leadership to the teams to enable them to actually provide great care. That's all they wanted. And they didn't want to be considered, I think the hospital was known as Shameside at that point. And nobody, you know, wanted that to be the case because they wanted their hospital to be great. So for me, it was just providing some leadership to those teams and support to allow them to provide that great care and those great services. And they've responded fantastically well because they are a really good team.
Are there any sort of specifics that you would pick out and say these were highlights and these are things over the last 6 years that we really did and that is what has turned everything around? And how do you get a team to follow you?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's just getting the basics right, isn't it, for everybody? Because if you know, it's about listening to this team and staff who are delivering the care to say, how can we help you? Because they know best how we can support them to deliver the great care they want to. So it's about listening. And, you know, staff were quite aggrieved. I think it was about the culture of the organisation. I don't think the staff felt that they were being listened to. And it was really doing that. So the first 6 months, I just went out looking at what was actually happening on the ground, working with the teams and listening. And they, you know, they told me the story. So it was easy then to understand what I needed to do to support them to actually drive the improvements that we now see today.
Do you think the fact that you're a trained nurse as well helped in all of that?
Personally, I think it's always been helpful to myself because I understand how the system works. I understand the pressures. I understand the differences between all the professional groupings. So from my perspective, it really does help. And I think it gave or provided some credibility that I understood what they were telling me in many respects. I don't think you necessarily do need to have a clinical background, but I always think it's been very helpful to myself.
And over the last 6 years, I know it's very difficult to pick out just one or two things that have changed at the hospital or one or two things that have been real, you know, successes that you would pinpoint. But are there a couple you can look at and say, look, we did that?
Okay, so I would say, you know, I've always said that at an acute hospital, we only improve health outcomes by about 10%. So we really needed to change our strategy because the health outcomes for this population have never changed in decades. And, you know, some of our communities, people are dying earlier than, you know, the other parts of the country. So we needed to do something really different. So I think once we got the organisation or the hospital to actually improve things in terms of the acute services we provide, then it allowed us to actually develop a different type of strategy, which is our integrated strategy. And I think the new models of care that we've provided out with the hospital, working with our partners in the local authority and also the CCG, the commissioners, then it's allowed us to transform care and the way we deliver care out of hospital. And that's had huge, huge benefits. And I can see that through, you know, some of the outcomes that we're delivering and talking to patients within the community themselves. So I think that, you know, we're now known as one of the leading lights in terms of the integration of services. Actually, we could have wrote the NHS plan in many respects, the 10-year plan, because we're actually already delivering that. But I think it's the right model of care. And I think there was a turning point then. In terms of those relationships we've built with the local authority and so forth. And because we've now integrated with the local authority and so forth in terms of social care, it's allowed us to work really differently. It's been more efficient, it's been more effective, and you can see the results from a patient perspective.
I know you credit not just your team, but the entire community with the award that you've received.
Absolutely.
And what part they have all played.
Yeah.
I know you say it's their hospital.
Yeah.
But what part have they played in terms of you receiving this honour? Because I know you'd like to think it's for everyone.
It is. And when I came to this hospital and I engaged with the community, because at that point I had lots of individuals in the community and groups saying, this is not acceptable. This is our hospital. It's very poor. And I remember meeting with lots of our communities to talk about what they thought about the hospital. And, you know, they had a very strong opinion. It's their hospital. And I worked in many places in Greater Manchester. And this is very community orientated. And that's fantastic because, you know, that's how it should be, that the community own the hospital. They want it to be good. And I've worked with those, with the communities to enable us to get from A to B and to make those improvements. And they have been totally engaged. And they've, you know, once they saw that we were determined to make those improvements, they really got behind us. And they've been very, very supportive and constantly giving feedback as to how we're progressing. And it's so lovely. And, you know, all the campaigns we've had to raise money to improve services like the Macmillan unit and so forth, everybody's got behind that. They've come together as a community to raise the money and so forth because they're taking ownership of services here. And I've never known that before. So it's a privilege, really, to be part of this journey and be part of this community. And, you know, I always remember one day just walking across from my own office to A&E, and I was stopped by a couple, and they just said, hello, you're the chief exec, aren't you? And I said, yes. Thinking, oh gosh, what they're going to tell me. And then they said, can we just thank you for making our hospital good again? And I, you know, I thought, oh wow, what, you know, what a privilege to be part of this community and making a little bit of difference for them. And that's all I can do is try and make that difference.
What are the next challenges for you in the new year ahead and the new decade ahead, do you think?
There's lots more challenges. So in terms of our future direction of travel, which is our integration piece, I think we need to do a lot more in that respect and work with different partners to actually look at the other determinants to health. So employment, travel, education, preschool readiness, all those sort of things that will really make a difference. I really want to concentrate on those other determinants with our colleagues in the local authority, because if we actually address some of these issues and challenges we have in this local economy, then I think longer term, we'll make a huge difference to the outcomes, health outcomes of our communities.
There's a big budget conversation going on right now. Would you like to see more money going into preventative medicines?
Absolutely. And it's not just about health, is it? It is about, you know, employment. It is about education, all those other things that do make a difference. And, you know, even if I look at what we're doing in terms of our green strategy, making sure our environment's cleaner and less pollution, so forth, these things matter. So I'd like to see that being acknowledged from a public health perspective. And I think we need to work collectively together, because although we provide healthcare, actually we need to work differently with our partners to improve health outcomes, but by addressing those other determinants, which are absolutely key.
We always talk about the NHS at this time of year being in crisis. But those are real challenges for the NHS, aren't they? Are they fixable just by more money? And more money is coming to Tameside Hospital for A&E, isn't it?
There is.
Which you can tell us a bit about. But those pressures remain there. So I can understand how integrated care can help and education can help to a degree. Are there any other answers? Because the hospitals nationwide seem to operate in huge sums of debt to provide the services. They don't have enough staff. And we hear that year in, year out. Do you think now there's a light at the end of the tunnel? Do you think that's going to change over the next decade?
I think the whole model we have of healthcare has to change, because we've got an ageing population and they are, you know, people who are presenting now with health conditions that are far more complex, they're more difficult. So if I look at our pressures now, absolutely A&E is really busy. We see growth each year in terms of the number of patients we see coming through our emergency department. That growth will continue, we anticipate this. And if we don't do anything different, I predicted, or my team's predicted, that we'll be opening or having to open 138 additional beds in the next few years unless we change the way we deliver healthcare. So I think that's what we're trying to do, because that pressure's not going to go away. So we need a different model that will support patients a little more effectively within the community, and that's what we need to do. I think we've also got workforce challenges across the board, particular specialty areas as well, huge workforce challenges. And again, we're going to have to look at a different way of growing that workforce going forward. And that's the exciting element to it, because, you know, it's just not doing the same thing as we've been doing. It's about challenging ourselves about what can we do differently, particularly in the workforce. And, you know, technology is allowing us to actually look at different ways of providing services. So, for example, we've got digital health, which is we've provided here, and it's won lots of awards. That allows us to monitor patients in the community. It allows us to talk to patients through Skype technologies and so forth, and monitor their conditions in a different way, so we're being more proactive. So I think technology will help us deliver new types of services. I think we can do things in a different way. So I do think the exciting and challenging aspect of healthcare is delivering that different type of service model going forward. Otherwise, we'll just see growth in A&E because the needs of our communities are changing.
Okay, and the money that's coming to Tameside Hospital to improve the A&E services, is there a timescale that you know about when that's happening?
We've been told we've got the money. We have to go through due process, so we've got the architects in at the moment. We have to put a business plan forward to make sure, and that's, you know, the Department of Health wanted to make sure we're spending the money in the right way. So that's a process we have to go through. But certainly I hope in the next 12 months we'll be given the green light to be able to start work on our A&E department, because it's very small. It was built some time ago. It doesn't reflect the needs of our patients anymore. And it will help us change the model of delivery of healthcare, because not everybody needs A&E, but they obviously need a response, an urgent care response. So we want to redesign that whole front door so that we can manage patients that do need our help more effectively.
Now, I don't want to dwell too much on Brexit, because we, as a nation, we've dwelled on it for too long.
Yes.
But the NHS has been part of that conversation for the last, goodness knows how many years. But I also remember that 6 years ago, when I first interviewed you, some Italian nurses were joining, and that was a big thing. Extra staff were arriving. Has the Brexit debate and nightmare over the last few years been a huge problem in terms of recruiting staff and attracting staff to come here? And do you anticipate that it might be a problem as we actually leave the EU?
Yeah, I mean, we've been, obviously this issue's been raised with the Department of Health for some time now. I think they've acknowledged it in terms of the situation with Brexit. I mean, it has created some uncertainty with the system, within the system. I don't think we've been affected as an individual organisation as much as some of the others, particularly in London and so forth. But I have to say, the uncertainty does create problems. I think the NHS, in terms of the Department of Health, have heard what we've been saying, and they are looking at international recruitment as well. So they acknowledge that we've got workforce issues, and therefore we still have to go look at international recruitment. So we've got the People's Plan. They're talking about it being launched in the next few months. Part of the plan is not just about recruiting, but retaining staff and how we do that better. But it's also acknowledging that we still have to recruit internationally, and there will be a process to facilitate that going forward.
Well, finally, on your OBE, is there anybody you'd like to thank particularly over these last few years? I know, other than the entire community, because I know you sort of, you say things are rather different here than anywhere else. Why is that, do you think? Why is the community, do you feel more generous here than you've experienced anywhere else?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is a community. Where I've worked elsewhere, perhaps it's not reflected the community spirit that we have here. And that's why I'm so determined to improve things, because we want to make things better for the community, and they've made things better for us because they've really got behind, as I've said previously, all the campaigns that we've had to improve things. They've constantly given me feedback about what's been good and what's not been so good. Those people that came to see me 6 years ago, I'm still in touch with them. They are still working with us to help us make things better. So, I feel responsible for this community and for doing the right thing for everybody. So they have been, they've been really helpful to me and been supportive all the way along. But I have a great team here at the hospital as well, who I've worked with for many years, who have followed me here. They didn't know what to expect, but they came and followed me, and they have helped me enormously to actually improve things across the board. So I've got a fantastic team, and it's got to be a shared OBE, really, because it's never about one individual, is it? It's about the whole team, and it's about the whole community. So although I feel very privileged to be receiving this honour, to me it is about the team here and the community, and I couldn't have done anything without them. So it's never about one individual.